This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. A massive waterfront development opens in Bridgeport. A look at the towns leading the trend in Connecticut's population growth, plus how summer campers are beating the heat, and the latest from WSHU's Birdsong Break. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. The August at Steel Point, a 420-unit residential waterfront development in Bridgeport, officially opened this week. Governor Lamont and local officials attended the ribbon cutting. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
The development is considered one of the most significant redevelopment projects in Bridgeport's history. It's on the site of a former power plant that had been vacant for decades. Lamont commended the developers for their vision.
You saw a place right here that was sitting empty for long time, an old power plant, and you saw what this could be, this amazing waterfront property, opening it up for everybody.
The master plan calls for eventually having 1,500 residential units, along with restaurants, retail, a commercial marina, hospitality, public amenities, and other waterfront uses. Some state financing was involved. The 420-unit first phase includes 160 workforce apartments for households earning between 80% and 100% of the area median income. That's $60,000 to $90,000 for a family of four. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
A report commissioned by the New York State Legislature takes a closer look at a court-ordered mental health treatment program more than a quarter century after Kendra's law first took effect. As the New York Public News Network's Samuel King reports, some advocates say the findings are cause for concern.
Kendra's law allows a court to order assisted outpatient treatment, or AOT, for people who have been determined to be at risk of harming themselves or others. Researchers at the University of Pittsburgh and the Human Services Research Institute found those who went through voluntary treatment mostly had similar outcomes to those who went through court-mandated treatment. Luke Sakinyi is with the Alliance for Rights in Recovery. He says the report highlights concerns about due process and access to services.
So for us, that really says that, you know, it's up to the state to really advance and expand the services so more people have access to them without having a court order.
Speaking on Public Radio's The Capitol Press Room, Dr. Miriam Tepper with the State Office of Mental Health says officials are reviewing the report's recommendations.
We really feel it is for this very small group of people for whom it is appropriate. It is a really important tool in the toolbox, and we want to be sure that it continues to be available for those who need it.
Kendra's law expires next year unless the legislature renews it. In Albany, I'm Samuel King for the New York Public News Network.
Despite reports that the U.S. population is migrating south, Connecticut's population is growing. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports on towns leading that trend.
Figures from the U.S. Census Bureau show most Connecticut towns grew in 2025. East Granby, a small town near Hartford, led the trend. It grew 3% from the year before. According to Hearst Connecticut Media, Farmington, also a suburb of Hartford, saw significant growth last year. New Haven, Bridgeport, and Norwalk added the most new residents. 25 of the state's 169 cities and towns lost residents during the period. Percentage-wise, the most people moved out of Trumbull, Lyme, and Orange, although the numbers were small. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Summer camp is about embracing the outdoors, but high temps are now something camps need to protect kids from. That story is coming up.
Do you have a car or a boat or a motorcycle that you no longer need? Donate it to WSHU. You'll be supporting the programs you rely on. And yes, we'll even tow it for free. It's an easy way to make a big difference. Start your donation at WSHU.org. Thank you.
A record number of ticks have been sent in for testing at the Connecticut Agricultural Experimentation Station. Officials say they received 40% more ticks than the last decade's average. Out of the 5,200 ticks tested this year, 38% tested positive for Lyme disease. New York State officials say they're investigating a fish kill in Cold Spring Harbor. According to Newsday, one fisherman saw thousands of dead fish on the beach. Wednesday night's storm may have caused the deaths, a state official said. The Bridgeport site that was supposed to become a soccer stadium may instead become a sports complex. The plan to build a home for Connecticut's minor league soccer team hit a snag earlier this year when the state said they wouldn't kick in more than $100 million. Now the site could feature mixed-use housing, a restaurant, a hotel, and rental fields. Suffolk County officials are proposing two new state laws to crack down on Medicaid fraud. The first would direct the New York State Attorney General to pass on tips about fraud to local DAs. New York State Senator Dean Murray represents a part of Suffolk County, and he says the state AG only goes after big-time crimes.
The facts are we're not doing enough, and we're not doing enough because we're handcuffing our local prosecutors.
The second bill would create financial rewards for tips that lead to convictions. Murray says New York State's Medicaid spending is one of the highest in the country, while its fraud conviction rate is one of the lowest. This is WSHU's Bird Song Break. This week, a common visitor to your backyard, it's the song sparrow. You can spot these little guys in our region's woodland edges and marshy areas all year long. Take a breath, listen, and let nature remind you to slow down. This has been WSHU's Bird Song Break featuring the song Sparrow. Special thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and visit WSHU.org for more. Summer camp is about embracing the outdoors, even when that means getting soaked in a downpour or sweating through a hike. But as climate change fuels dangerous heat and unhealthy air, the outdoors is becoming something camps have to protect children from. The New England News Collaborative's Emily Piper Villillo has more out of Massachusetts.
Dozens of kids splash in a pond tucked among trees. It's one of three ponds at Hale Education, which runs a summer camp in Westwood with miles of trails to explore.
I saw a fish!
Campers dunk their heads and splash one another until a counselor's voice cuts through.
All right, everybody on the wall!
Kids swim to opposite docks and huddle, bobbing in the water as they call out team names.
On my left, we have the golden axolotls. Can I hear your battle cry? Yeah! Three, 2, 1, capture the flag!
All in all, it's a pretty typical day at camp. Except for one thing.
You see that, like, the sun's a little bit different?
That's Isla Pokran. She's 7. What she's describing is the sun turned into a glowing red orb by a blanket of smoke from Canadian wildfires. 6-year-old Henry Lamolt puts it a little differently.
The animals at Canada Rainforest had a barbecue and they forgot to turn off the grill, and the fire spread and almost burned down the entire forest.
These kids aren't fazed, but it's a reminder that summers are changing.
It's hot out. It's been a warm summer already.
Aaron Morehouse is Hale's executive director.
What we can say is that this year, last year, the year before, they are different. Like, the science shows us that. We know that we're facing the hottest days that we've ever faced.
Camps like Hale are all about teaching kids how to navigate the outdoors. Rain doesn't stop camp. It becomes part of the adventure. But climate change brings a whole host of challenges. More frequent extreme heat and powerful storms. Algae blooms that make it unsafe to swim. More and more, Massachusetts summers are bringing weather that forces camps to change how they operate.
Every night I have to monitor what the weather is going to look like for the next day.
Emily McDonald heads up camp at the Common School in Amherst.
If it goes to 100, we don't go outside. And that stinks because lots of the camp is outside.
This summer's 4th of July heat wave upended camp routines across the state. The temperature soared to 100 degrees, and camps moved children indoors. One turned on a live stream of owls, some closed altogether. At Everwood Day Camp in Sharon, director Jamie Pickles canceled the afternoon buses.
Kids sort of sitting in a hot bus with no air conditioning, particularly in potential 4th of July traffic, was just a no-go for us.
Roughly 75 kids stayed home that day.
There's a lot of people that come to Everwood who are dependent on travel. So when they can't get here by bus, then it affects their childcare, it affects their kids' experience, and people really have to reshuffle.
Children are especially vulnerable to extreme heat and poor air quality, and kids with asthma face even greater risks. Keeping everybody safe now means limiting some outdoor adventures that have always been a part of camp.
Some of the fun of, like, outdoor camp is that you get to take risks.
Catherine Robb's 6-year-old attends camp at Hale. She remembers her childhood summers outside and the thrill of a rare thunderstorm. Some of those same carefree experiences now require a different level of caution.
If that's thunderstorms that are happening all the time and it's actually not just a thunderstorm, but it's a really extreme weather event, then that can get really dangerous and, as we saw in Texas last year, deadly.
Camps are redesigning their campuses for a hotter future with plans to add indoor space and expand shade cover. They're flipping schedules, moving the highest energy activities early in the day when it's still cool. They're even canceling campfires.
Everybody get ready for buddy check!
Hale has adopted a look out for each other approach. On really hot days, campers stop what they're doing and make sure their buddy is okay.
Lower 8, hurry up!
They've also rolled out mandatory water breaks every 15 minutes and added industrial misting fans. What's driving Executive Director Aaron Morehouse to make these changes is his belief that camp is more important now than ever. Camp teaches children how to work together, he says, how to be adaptable and resilient. And that's what they need to do in a changing world.
So that's another reason why we can't lose summer camp.
If I hold this, can you press the button?
The day is winding down, and campers crowd around to fill their water bottles one more time before heading home.
I call window, I call aisle.
One camper promises to bring his Pokemon tomorrow. Another has snuck an ant on board and named it Tallulah. As the bus departs, it's the adults who are monitoring the weather. So the kids can just be kids. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Emily Piper Valillo.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and of course, tune in here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. And don't forget to check out our brand new merch shop over at WSHU.org. Just click on shop to find t-shirts, tanks, hats, mugs, and so much more. All proceeds go right back to supporting the news you trust and music you love. I'm Sabrina Garon. Have a great rest of your Friday and a wonderful weekend. I'll speak to you on Monday.